Hey, I'm Simone.
And I'm Jess. We're two long-distance best friends who are states away.
But our bond has never been closer. From spirituality to spirited conversations,
we're here to share them with you.
So welcome to Fly Talks.
Come fly with us for a bit.
Hello, everyone. I am Simone.
And I am Jessica.
And welcome to
Fly Talks.
Fly Talks.
Hey, y'all.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Today, we are... Today is a deeper discussion. Mm-hmm. We're going to be touching on grief and the effects it has, especially when it comes to losing a close friend, losing someone young, and how that kind of affects our lives going forward. Mm-hmm. Jess, I feel it's best for you to, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So some of you may know, new people do not. I lost my best friend to kidney cancer last week, the 12th, made 2 years. He was very young. Just for context, I'm 30, same age. So yeah, it's hard. But I think, you know, I had brought this conversation to Simone a while back. And when I was going through the grief on the anniversary, I was just like, there needs to be places for these conversations. And I think, I don't know, I think I've realized the first year, right? I guess I'll jump into it. The first year it was fresh, right? So people care about the first. They're like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so sorry. It fizzles, you know, it fizzles out. And there's people who still care and there's people who still ask. But I think there's this feeling that stays with you kind of almost like it's done for everyone who's like not directly affected.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of shock factor goes away and people no longer think about us and the people who lost. So I don't know. I guess I wanted to have a conversation that one kind of gave clarity to how to support people on the other side, to be honest. Because I know for me, prior to this loss, it was definitely difficult for me to show up for other people because I've never experienced it, right? And I think what I've realized is even the people who want to be supportive, sometimes you just don't know what to say. And I don't think I'm the guidebook for everyone. We all process differently. But I guess this conversation for me isn't only to help us who's lost. It's also to help the people who love us, right? And give them some type of guidance in terms of how they should kind of support and show up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think grief is a heavy topic and a lot of us tend to avoid conversations around death in general. And especially when someone close to us is dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, one of the biggest things I recognize about when someone passes away is that the people around you kind of are like, well, want you to like stay happy in a way and kind of like remind you of like, oh, but, you know, kind of like giving the caveats and like the, you know, but he's in a better place or all these things instead of like honoring the truth of what is happening. So I think this is important, especially for me as your friend, to learn how to support you better too. So how has grief shown up in your life as you've continued after? Tyler's passing.
They say, I don't know, they say like there's different phases, right? The first year I had a panic attack at work. Had to get picked up early by my other best friend who was also one of our best friends. There's a group of us. I don't even know how I kept my job, to be honest. Every day, just crying wherever I could cry. I didn't know how. My first question was like, how are people still functioning, right? Like, you give people bereavement. They gave me like 3 days. I came back. I'm like, at what point am I supposed to feel stable enough to continue? And it was weird because there was almost like this comparison, right? So I, people grieve differently, and I was able to see people still being productive, not knowing what they're going through. Of course, they're internalizing it different. But for me, I was so frozen that I almost couldn't understand how people were still navigating life. And now year two, I'm in not the opposite, but I'm in that place of like, okay, I can go throughout my day. I can think about it and not break down. But days like the anniversary come, and I was like, you know, okay, good memories. This is going to be happy. And, you know, he would have liked this. We ate, we ordered food because he loved to bust down. So we watched some ratchet TV. We ate a lot of greasy food. He would have loved it. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. But I was driving, and then it just hit me. And I'm like, it's just so random, and it's so inconsistent. So I guess, like, what you were saying, I think the biggest thing that you've been so helpful with is like not trying to control the mood, right? So it's like, if you call me, how are you? How are you feeling about it? Or even if you don't bring it up and I bring it up, it's like, there's almost, it's not stoic, like you don't care. It's not that. It's just an ability to give me space to feel all of it. And then it's like, if I laugh, you encourage the laughter. If I'm sad, you let me get that out. And yeah, I just pray. And unfortunately, no, everyone doesn't have one, but support and what your support system looks like, it'll push you through. It has to.
Yeah. It's extremely important. I think, like, similar to what I was saying, I think there's this idea that, like, you know, when someone close to you is grieving, like, you want them to feel better. Mm-hmm. Because, like, it's a low, very sad, heavy place to be in. So I think naturally when you see your friend in a sad place, you want to help them to feel better. But grief is a process. Mm-hmm. And so part of that process, and I think one thing that I have learned in this process with you is that the more that I give you that space to feel and be, I think that is the more healing aspect of it. I think trying to cover it or push it down or say, don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whenever it happens, whether it's on the anniversary or it's in the middle of your day at work, like, mm-hmm. I think giving space for those emotions to flow mm-hmm. is a way to help a person in their healing process. You know, they always say grief is just love with no place to go, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, and honestly, that's kind of not true either, because spiritually we know that, like, you know, the earth or the world that we live in today as humans is just one aspect, one dimension of who we are, and our souls continue mm-hmm. to live on. But it's, of course, hard to not have a direct, tangible place to put that love or to speak your, you know, emotion. So, I mean, I'm glad that me just allowing you to speak and feel and be, however it is healing for you, and it helps you to process it, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because what you had just said about, like, basically God and there being another realm where your loved one is at, right? And I think that that's such a big thing. I have multiple thoughts on that because it's funny, like, anybody who knows me knows, super Christian, I love God. And I spoke at his service and I prayed and I told God to speak through me. I got up there and I was like the most not even cliche, but the painfulest thing you could ever say, which is like, he's in a better place, right? And it's hard to say that for myself, one, because I didn't care about that perspective of it at the time.
Yeah.
But also to people who are mourning and who are grieving, but it's an ultimate truth. I know for me, I lost my faith for like a year. It wasn't that I didn't believe in God, but I didn't pray anymore. I didn't watch sermons anymore. If music came on, I would turn it off. Because I spent so long praying for his healing, right? So I was like, man, we would be together. I'm putting on sermons. I'm playing gospel music. I'm like, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. And shit hit the fan, you know? And God's version of healing didn't look like what I prayed for. And I've never felt like that in my life. So I guess to say my beliefs changed, and I guess I don't want to say I want to encourage people to do the same, not at all. But I think that people who know God or people who just know love entirely, when you think of there being an afterlife or anything after this, it's going to shake up things that you thought you knew. It's going to shake up. It's just going to shake shit up. And I guess what I want people to be aware of is grace within yourself, because I felt like a different person every day, still do. And it, allow yourself to not be the person you were prior, I guess, is what I would say as well.
Yeah. Yeah, give yourself space to grow without having that person there with you, like on this earthly plane. And of course, it's easier said than done, because it's a process and it becomes easier. I don't even want to say easier over time, but I think your heart just conforms to that missing piece. Mm-hmm. And you also realize how strong your heart is to be able to kind of move through that. You know, there's that meme where it's like how grief looks in that jar. Have you seen that meme? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's like a how grief looks, and it's like a jar that's like this size, and the ball represents grief, and the ball is the same size as the jar. And so it's like it completely fills your emotions, but then it says what happens over time, your jar just gets bigger. The size of the grief doesn't change. It's still heavy, but your jar just gets bigger. You meet new people. You have new experiences. Mm-hmm. You still continue to honor, you know, your loved ones that pass away. So it's like your ability to love grows.
Yeah.
The grief still is there, and you can honor it. You can feel it. I'm sure, you know, in time, it may not, you know, cause you to like break down in tears every day, but there might be a day where you want to. Yeah. And that's okay. That's all part of the process. But understanding that we still have the capability to grow and honor our loved one is really how we are able to shift through it. And it's how you know, like you said, it's how you change and become that new person. You know, your heart really does shift with the grief.
Ooh, that was good. Because I just kept thinking, so after Tyler passed, I had my niece, my first niece ever.
Yes, Nora.
When I tell y'all, I can't even start talking about her, I won't stop or I'll cry. The so timing funny. Of it, y'all, was God and Tyler. I knew it. He knew I could not, I don't want to say go on. But what's funny is he knows how emotional I am and how I just be devastated, y'all. Not that it's not devastating in itself, but a bitch like me feels.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how I was going. I didn't know how I was going to move on. And I'm not moved on, but you know what I mean. Like, I didn't know how to step forward. And he gave me that little girl. And I said, I have to be here, because I have to see her grow up. And I think that's a dark side that I don't want to linger on, but it is easy to say, okay, I can't, the pain is so unbearable that I don't know how I can stay here just in life. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that God will give you something to live for. You just give him enough time, you know? Yeah. It doesn't replace, but like you said, it expands.
Yeah. And I think even the thought of those thoughts are real. And I want to give space for that. Those thoughts of being like, oh my God, how am I supposed to live now? Like those are real thoughts. Yeah. So I think to honor them is it's your truth. However, kind of like what you said, there are God, like our angels, like people that for what I believe, our spirit team really does give us the tools we need to be able to move through life. And I think you just have to, the important part is to, even if it's with the slightest, like what they say, faith of a mustard seed, having that faith. So kind of like what you said, you know, your faith shifted. You weren't listening to sermons. Mm-hmm. You weren't talking to God. You weren't listening to any, like, you know, gospel music or anything, but mm-hmm. you still knew God was there.
For sure.
And that never stopped. And God's like, even that moment, yeah, I know you're upset with me. You know, I know you're upset. Because it is a, and I also want to give you permission to cry.
Sure. Thank you.
No, don't ever apologize, but cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is, even in our upset.
Right.
God is going to show up. And so Nora being in your life and you having that place to put that love, that continued love from your best friend, mm-hmm. that goes to show how God is love.
Yeah, man, what, like, he, and it's crazy because I'm like, he would have loved her. I feel like he has already met her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that for sure.
For sure.
And yeah, it's like you said, it's hard, but it's also like, it kind of, when you said spirit team, that kind of touched me. Cause I'm like, you really do just have, I can just imagine him up there. Like there's days I'm just like, when my days, like, for example, I'm trying to transition jobs and I'm like, what are you, like, you're not making shit move up there. Like I stay be telling him, I'm like, can you do something about this? So I have learned how to be in connection to him and speaking to him in that way and kind of like praying and talking to God and talking to him often. Cause I do know he's up there. Now, I don't know if he's helping me. He is, but he need to
get a move on it.
Things that need to be fixed.
Yeah. See, I think the thing about like our spirit team is that the more we talk to them, especially like our loved ones that pass away, I think the more we talk to and about them. I saw this interview with Nipsey Hussle's mom. Mm. And she was talking about, you know, how a lot of people are, you know, upset. And she's upset, obviously, like when someone young, especially, passes on, you're going to be upset because, you know, in our eyes, they had so much more life to live.
Yeah.
However, she was saying like elevating him is the best thing for him because that sets him up to help us on from the spiritual realm mm-hmm. on this earthly realm. And I do genuinely believe that as we speak feelings of gratitude and elevating them and pushing them upward, I think that is what sets them up to help us.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, and this is, of course, once again, easier said than done. It takes time. There's no timer on it. It's not like, oh, you got to be 6 months. And then that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of us are, when we mourn, we feel like we've lost mm-hmm. someone. And yes, we've lost them on the earthly realm, but we have gained an angel, mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. guardian. Who yeah. is watching over us, who wants to work tirelessly because they don't, like, it's literally spirit. There's no tired. Mm-hmm. They work day in and day out to make ways for us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you speaking about him, you know, giving you Nora, that's honoring him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That puts him in line to be like, all right, bet. She sees my gift. She sees that I'm working. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not within our time that certain things we want to happen is happening, but that right. also is like, there's more lessons to us to, for us to learn so that yeah. we can be ready. But of course, you know that he is creating that path for you, especially when it comes to your job. Like him and God are working up there. Like all your ancestors are working up there, you know? So it's sad, but it's also comforting at the same time.
He would have been so entertained. Well, he's going to be happy, one, because we have a podcast. Because right. the five of us attempted to have a podcast. Yeah. And that shit was crazy. So anybody, you guys are new, but anybody who remembers, we did a podcast called The Circle. Tyler, mm-hmm. dramatic ass, always had to run everything, every episode, just, he starred the show. It does not matter where that boy was. He was like, this is my shit, okay? And we all just had to fall in line. But needless to say, it was a train wreck. So I think he'll be very happy and is very happy that the same messages that I wanted to put out, I can do with you. And he also sent me you too. So it's like, I don't know. I guess I just, every day I am learning to see the miracles that are happening amidst the pain, I guess. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah.
And it gives you a new skill set too, to be able to move through those painful emotions as well. I think that gives you a level of emotional dexterity that you can take with you throughout life. You know, that was a heavy hitting thing to go through, but you did it and you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? You are growing and you've learned so much about yourself. Like there's so many aspects of you that have been discovered in this time. And like that is a blessing within itself. That's a miracle on top of it too. Like you have become even more in, like, it's so interesting. When I first met Jess, like I was like, Sagittarius where? Cause she was much more like, very much more demure, very mindful. Like that was
very mindful.
Well, guys, I don't
really, I was shy, like, y'all.
I mean, just shy in her, in her shell more so. And like, you were really, only really see it around like her friends, like all of their friend group. That's really when it would come out. And so I was like, who is this? But it's like, who you, like, this is, it's like you've embodied who you genuinely are more than like you have since I've known you for the past, what, 13 years. And like,
that's on therapy, baby.
Yeah, period. That's on therapy and growth and learning and seeing the miracles in the midst of the pain.
Yeah.
So I hope that you give, like, you pat yourself on the back for that, because I'm so grateful to have witnessed this evolution. Because, and as we continue to grow as best friends, like, I'm here to support you along the way. Like, truly.
I know. And I feel it. It's just crazy because it's like, there's so, kind of what you were saying about Nipsey is like, he affected so many people's life. Like, I remember sitting with God and I was like, so just still upset, confused. But I knew, like, I'm like, his reach was huge. And I couldn't think of anybody strong enough to make that impact aside from him and his family, his mother, his father, his sister.
Yeah.
When I tell you, they are people. I couldn't think of anybody else who would handle it not only as graceful, because people mourn their own ways. It's not to minimize at all, but to shift it into something that he would have been proud of. He has a run that they do annually that raises money for kidney cancer. I will put the link in our bio so you guys can contribute if you feel pulled to or called to. But they just took it and created this movement created this, like, his mom literally was like, I'm just going to work to make sure somebody else gets a day longer with their son or their daughter. And I'm like, I can't imagine anyone else who would have been able to go through something that bad and still care about other people. Like, even during the service, his mom spoke to us, and excuse me, I'll put my phone on silent. His mom spoke to us, and you know, I'm weird. I play it all the time. But she still cared enough about us to leave us with the knowing that we're gonna be okay, which yeah. I think for all of us, like me and Shannon, all my friends, I'm like, if she's still standing, we gotta fucking ride it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna have to ride it out, because between him, his mother and his sister, they smile. I know there's tears. I know. But the fact that they are such a pillar of joy for us is just another reason why I knew God knew what he was doing, because I don't know. He was just such a big, and is still a big spirit. Yeah. And I really a special one, I guess. Like, it almost was like, I always laugh with Shannon, because we're like, he, of course he had to do his big one and go first, because he just be making right. So I'm like, here we go. It's about you again.
Yeah. Again. Perfect. Perfect timing.
You did it.
Right.
But yeah, just I just remember my mom telling me, like, just to remember all the accolades and everything that people were able to say about him,
yeah,
as young as he was, is like, you better hope that throughout your life you're able to list that. People don't meet half of those things when they're 100. You're reaching people's lives, expand just all of these things. And I'm like, yeah, it just made me want to have, I don't want to be dark and say an obituary, but an obituary that shows that I lived and that I cared and that I helped,
yeah,
people. And I just remember, like, when I was with Shannon at the service, it, so there's a lot of people we had, we grew up, this is going to be weird, but we grew up in not a predominantly Black neighborhood, right? So a lot of people hadn't been to like a Baptist church or a regular church for a service. So people kept coming, and I had mentioned it when I spoke, but people kept coming, and you know, at a certain point, you're just supposed to sit down so people mm-hmm. can start. And people just kept going and coming. And then it was pissing me off. It really was. So I'm not even gonna lie. It was making me mad, because I'm like, okay, now you guys have to sit down so we can start the service. You guys aren't on time. But it wasn't that they weren't on time. It was that the line was stocked outside of the fucking door, you know? And I just think about it. I'm like, you live to make a line like that, to fill up a place and a space like that. Like,
yeah,
I can't think of anybody else. You would have had to be fucking 95 to meet that many people in your life. And for all of us to feel this loss means that he loved us. Like, you know, and there's so many of us, so many of us. It's clearly not just me. But we feel it because I just feel like he chose us, like, you know, yeah, and he knew we were going to be special people, and we're all kind of weird and shit, and we all have our things. I damn sure have mine. But I just feel honored to have been loved by him and to have been chosen by him. So I truly feel that. It's comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think to offer different language, you know, you talked about, like, you know, you want to leave an obituary like that. What that is a legacy.
Oh, duh. Thank you.
No, it's okay. That's fine. I think it was like in the moment, you know what I'm saying? I know judgment. It was more so like just to give context to what you meant. But that's a legacy, and you continuing to live, you are given time to build that. You know what I'm saying? And so if he could do that in a short amount of time, also 28 years is a good amount of time to like reach and meet people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And the fact that he made an impact on me. I met him once. I found out he was Guyanese. I said, period. And I said, locked in. You know what I'm saying? And so he made that impact on me. And I only met him once, to the point where, mm-hmm, I don't know if you remember, but at your birthday, when we did that first shot, the first thing I did, I had to put a shot out. because I remember that moment when we pre-gamed.
Yeah.
And that was one time.
She made me cry, y'all. It was my 30th birthday. And I couldn't get over the fact everybody I loved was there. I couldn't get over the fact he wasn't there. I just could not.
Yeah.
And Simone's ass was like, okay, let's make a shot for Tyler. He would have wanted, you know, to have the man. When I tell you, I went in the bathroom and I lost it. But once again, kind of what you're saying just about there being such a big and strong presence that he's remembered, but also that nigga liked to party, so he would have wanted the shot.
He would have wanted the shot, and he would have poured it for everybody else.
He would have.
Are you taking a shot?
I would have passed out on the floor. Okay, and he would have still been putting tequila in my fucking mouth.
Literally.
So he taught me how to live.
Oh, that's beautiful, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
He taught you how to live.
Yeah, because I've always been a person. I mean, you know me. I think so much. And before I like resonated with a person with anxiety, all these other different things, he's always been the person to talk me down, one, and two, to just, but it's not that fucking serious. Like, it's just not that serious. And now that I'm looking at it and everything he's been through, I really do be looking at certain shit and I'm like, it's really not that serious. Like, it could be worse. So I just always hear his voice. And it's funny because he left me a voice note for my birthday. And it was basically like, you know, I'm so proud of you, yada, yada. But he was like, enough with all the sad shit, because I could go in with that. He's like, I want you to turn the fuck up. So that's, I always remember that, because I'm like, I could be a little sad, emotional. And I'm like, he would want you to shake that ass a little
bit. Shake that ass, mama.
You know? So it's like, I remember those things. And I guess for anybody who has lost someone, just remember what you did with them that felt good, I guess. Yeah. I don't know how to explain that. Yeah, but yeah, like what their life taught you. Like all of the videos we have, he's dancing, he's laughing, he's singing. I'm like, yeah. I gotta live. I was taught to live.
Yeah. And that's the memory that you carry on. And that's how you continue to honor him, is through igniting that within yourself, you know? So that moment when, you know, you can have your sad time at your birthday party. It's your birthday. You can cry if you want to. However, right after you cry, we're taking 7 shots and we're going to go shake your ass. You know what I'm saying? And that, and the fact that you also have been, you have gotten so much better at kind of equalizing your anxiety too. Mm-hmm. I see it. I see the progress. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that's, I say all these things just to highlight how you continue to honor him even in daily regular life. It's like that voice in the back of your head, like, it's not that serious. Like, girl, chill out. Okay, that's his legacy. That's what he left. And so you continue to take that with you. And yeah. You know.
Yeah, he's a risk taker and someone who would always tell you to go for it. So it's like, even what you were saying about like getting out of my energy in this box of just being like this, it's like he will bust that door open for anybody. So now I definitely feel more alive and more just cognizant of, be who you are while you're here. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it.
Ooh.
But be That's who you are.
So good. Be who you are here. Be who you are in this world. Be who you are. Like, don't hold back. Do not sit back and watch life pass you by. I think we all have moments where we want to. We have moments where we sit and we allow those emotions to be. I think we can give ourselves space for that. However, yeah. Life is meant to be lived.
Yep.
And the more you show up in your will to live, I think the more rewarded you are in life. Like, mm-hmm. Where you are now is not where you were 2 years ago, Jess. And that is beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah, he was tired of seeing me slide down the wall.
Right. Right. Like, all right, that's enough, bitch. God damn.
Like, bitch, you're going to have to get. When I tell you sliding wall to wall, every place I went.
There's a print on the wall with your puff like this.
Set my puff, grease, and just slide. What? And but you know what's crazy? God will put angels in your path, because I remember, and I hope she watches this. Hey, Nadine. So I remember one of the secretaries at my job, mind you, this was my first year at this job. Mm-hmm. Tyler McKenzie decides to pass on August 12th. This was the first week, because I'm a teacher. So I just got there. I don't have any PTO, nothing. I don't know anybody. So that happens. I come in. I'm trying to work the best that I can after I come back from the service. One day I just lost it. Now, mind you, at the time I was teaching kindergarten. So this is funny in hindsight. Oof. Because they were all just like, what the fuck? Like, kids be so confused.
Yeah, they're like, huh?
Luckily, I had paras in my room. And then I also, embarrassingly enough, had my principal and my assistant principal in my room. Crazy, right? So end up, I'm like standing at the board, and all of a sudden I hear my AP like, are you okay? And I swear to God, like earlier that day, I went to the bathroom and I had to tell one of my TAs to get me water, because when I was walking back, I was like kind of lightheaded. So I came in. She's like, are you okay? I was like, I couldn't speak. So she was like, you want to sit down? I sat down. When I told you, I started weeping. So then the secretary, Black, of course, she felt like an auntie because she always checked in on me. So she ended up coming. All I could hear was her saying, like, I have a good rapport with her, because people didn't know what to do. Because I'm like, just like, they cleared out the classroom. I'm like sobbing, heaving and shit. And she ends up coming behind me. All I could feel was like pressure. And she was like, it's okay. Like, you're having a panic attack. Now, mind you, like, I'm sure there's a majority of Black people listening to this. So you just know the auntie touch. I needed it. Mm-hmm. I needed it. And she was just rubbing me. So speaking of sliding down the wall, she ends up walking me into the bathroom. And I tried to slide, literally went to the back, tried to slide down the wall and sit on the floor. And she was like, no. And she picked me up. And I remember sending her, writing her this letter, because I literally felt like it was an angel. Like, telling me, like, you can't give up. Like, when I tell you my body was going to drop on the floor, and she was like, no. Like, you could cry, but you're not, like, no. And she had just lost her mom. So she was like, just, and I knew, oof, nobody else would have got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody else would have got that fresh loss. And God just knew where to put me. Because number one, they didn't fire me. So he really knew where to put me, because I was in that bitch crying every day. This just happened to be the worst of it. But yeah, and she just pulled me up. And that's how I knew God was looking out for me, because even when, and that was at a point, I think I was also so overwhelmed because I wasn't in relationship with God actively. So it really just felt like it was just me. Like, I didn't have anything. I didn't have anybody. It was me. And, she was a praying woman. She started praying for me, and God will find you. That's the annoying part about it. He will find you. So I'm up here not talking to him. She's like, I'll do it for you. So she comes in and she's just like praying over me. And I'm just like, I remember she took me to the nurse's office. I held her hand. I couldn't even walk. And God will send people to show you that, one, it's going to be okay, but also just to walk slowly with you. Like, I know they say it's sad because they're like, okay, now you're part of a tribe. Like, you don't want to be a part of this one, but, you know, we're a part of the people who lost a special person. And I remember his mom just saying, like, hold on to each other in the midst of this. So God will give you things to hold on to. Like,
yeah.
I didn't see that lady coming. And I did not see her coming, and I've never felt so alone. And I literally felt like God was like hovering over me, like, all right, it's okay. So needless to say, there will be days like that. There will be days where you can talk about it and smile like I'm doing. There's going to be moments and days, like Simone said, you can cry. It's okay. But give yourself permission to feel it all.
Oh, yeah.
Give yourself, I think my biggest thing too was give yourself permission to not rush. I think when that panic attack happened, it was the 6-month mark since his passing. And for me, once again, it was kind of like, okay, you go to the funeral, people are like, I'm so sorry for your loss. It starts fading out. And you kind of see people like kind of back to normal life. And I was just like, how am I supposed to do this? So yeah. I almost felt like this feeling of like, okay, you need to hurry up with whatever it is. I felt inadequate kind of because I felt like I didn't have my bearings. Like I could barely drive my car. So it was like everything felt, I felt so defeated. And here I am seeing people like, just seeing people, everybody's been affected by it. I don't know how you went to work. I don't know how you're posting a picture of pizza today. I don't know how this is happening. But I've learned one, to not judge anybody else's, but honestly, I wish somebody would have told me not to compare my grief because I felt weak. Like I really did. I felt weak. I felt like I didn't have the ability to balance. And then I thought about it and I'm like, this person has been my best friend for what, 16 years?
Yeah.
What type of normalcy would, what will normalcy be right after that? And you want to equate that to 6 months? It's not realistic. And if it is for you, be there. And that, and I guess that's all I'm trying to say is it's like, because it was so close in our friendship circle, all of my friends mourned simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So literally being able to see it play out so many different ways at first was kind of stressful. Cause I'm just like, okay, like, am I supposed to be handling it like this? Am I supposed to be okay enough to do what they're doing? And it's just like, no, some people are moving forward and they're busy because that's how they honor him, or they're busy because they don't have the capacity to even process this. And I just remember one day just being like, because I'm like, I wish I was stronger. And then I wrote to him like in my computer, and he's like, he knew what kind of bitch you were. Like, you are just, anybody who knows you, that was your best friend. You're going to be squatting down the wall. You are.
And, if anything, that's what we expect to happen.
Expect it. And yeah. I will say, just like his mom and Kristen has and have their run and their marathon, find something to pour into. For me, I'm a writer. I'm coming out with a book about loss and grief. Whatever it is that you do, just remember your person, use your gift to honor them. And there's no rush to that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying take it and then start a project. You take it and you could sit on the floor forever. 10 years from now, do what you got to do. But just remember what they would want for you.
Mm-hmm.
What they would want for you. And yeah, I think I followed my instinct today by knowing I'm like, Tyler would want me to tell people that they're not alone because he knows that's how I give it up. So that's why I came here, and I hope it helps somebody.
And absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you for sharing this and, you know, talking about it. You know, it's something very difficult, even for me. Like, grief is a tough subject for me. My sad emotions, I'm just now rebuilding my relationship with my sad emotions. It just knows. So, you know, you've given space for me, you know, even in this moment. So I already know it's going to make an impact for those who are even more closely, you know, related to the topic in that sense. So I appreciate you. I love you. As you know, I'm always here for you. And if you have any questions, please email us at our email address.
We so hyped because we said no. Please email us because we're ready.
Please email us. We are so ready. So if you have any questions, anything you want us to touch on in relation to this episode, by all means, feel free to send them in and we can find ways to work it into our episodes going forward. But nonetheless, we thank you so much for listening to Fly Talks and loving beautiful memory of Tyler McKenzie.
Thank you.
You are appreciated in this moment, and we are grateful for your presence in this conversation.
So yes, in honor and dedication, my darling. So yeah.
Oh my god. No, that was so nice. I didn't expect that.
That was so nice.
Oh my god, yes. I did not expect that. Yes. I don't know why.
Beautiful gift from one of my other friends. Beautiful gift. Yeah.
It's okay.
Thank you. Oh no. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't be okay.
No, I felt that. Like I felt it in that moment.
I'm glad. I'm so glad.
And I'm glad that we use this platform to talk about it because it's very important.
Don't make me cry, please.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, and that, and it really takes a strong person to, in your grief, offer advice and counsel and solace for people. Like, it takes strength and like a very God-given gift to do that. So it's like, In your pain, you inspire. You know what I mean? And like, wow.
Thank you. Oh, that was so touching. Get me out of here before I start sliding down the wall.
Sliding down the wall. Exactly. As you can, if you can see, if you look behind there, you can see your puff.
Go straight to the back. I don't even know. Still standing.
Okay. Well, thank y'all so much for listening to Fly Talks. I'm Simone.
I'm Jessica.
And Fly Talks, fly away.
Turn it off.
You're making it a thing. We're making it a thing.
Turn it off. Thanks.
All right, see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.